God's grace. God is a gracious God, a loving God. He cares for you. He cares for me. And by the grace of God, we want to understand that even more tonight. And we're going to see how God is working out His plan by the grace of God and how we can be thankful for some things that have transpired here in the last month or so. Look at Psalm 92, verses 1 and 2, please. The psalmist says, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to Your name, O Most High, and to declare Your loving kindness in the morning and Your faithfulness every night." Again, we're thinking about Thanksgiving, friends, and we want to talk about that tonight as we get started, first of all. Our early American leaders wisely realized the importance of having a special day each year in which people could recount their blessings and express gratitude for God for all of His goodness. The first Thanksgiving was decreed by Governor Bradford in 1621 to commemorate the Pilgrims' harvest that year. Later, George Washington proclaimed November 26, 1789, as a national day of Thanksgiving, but the holiday was not repeated on a national basis until Abraham Lincoln named it a national festival on November 26, 1861. After that time, the holiday was proclaimed annually by the president and the governors of each state. Finally, in 1941, Congress passed a bill naming the fourth Thursday of each November as Thanksgiving Day, a day in which all people can say thanks for the country we live in, for the freedom we have in our country and the freedom that we hold dear. We need to remember that. Thank You, Lord, for the United States of America, for the freedom that we've enjoyed in the past, which we continue to enjoy in the present. Well, friends, Thanksgiving is a special holiday that I particularly like because we don't give presents. There is some hubbub and preparation for Thanksgiving, as there always is, especially if it's at your home, and that can bring some pressure. But it's really nice to be able to gather together as families or with friends and with those we hold dear and we love, and to spend time together, to eat together and to say thanks for God's grace, for our families, and for our friends. Believers are to give thanks always as a way of living because of what God in His grace has done for them. And we looked again at this verse. It's a great verse. "It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to Your name, O Most High, to declare Your loving kindness in the morning and Your faithfulness every night." No, we want to sing praises to His name. We did that already. And we want to give thanks to Him for what He's done in regards to these things, reminding us again His loving kindness, His grace, and His faithfulness every night, as God is faithful. Now, I'm not going to teach Psalm 92, but I just thought of some psalms and some verses of thanksgiving that I wanted to set forth to you. So let's look at a few here. How about Psalm 106:1? "Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever." We need to be thankful for what God has done, and we need to remember His mercy endures forever. If it wasn't for His mercy, we wouldn't be saved by the grace of God. God wouldn't have His Word available to us. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything," notice, not for everything, "but in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." And that would take a divine perspective to do that, because sometimes when it comes for certain things that come our way or come into our life, we're not thankful. We're actually kind of maybe anxious, sometimes even bitter, and we have to have a divine perspective and attitude to give thanks for this. Again, notice, is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Ephesians 5:20 says, "Giving thanks always for all things to God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." So God here says, you need to give thanks, or Paul says, always for all things to God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just perusing the Scripture here, just putting a few verses up on overhead that we could think about. Colossians 3:17. "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him," through Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for sending Your Son. Thank You for Him going to the cross on our behalf. Thanks that He died for us. And that's why whatever we do, we can have an attitude of gratitude. We're to express that thanksgiving by God's amazing grace. How about Hebrews 13:15? "Therefore, by Him," Christ, "let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." Again, this is what God expects from His people. If anybody should be thankful, it should be the believer in Jesus Christ, one who's been redeemed, and God now has a plan for your life and my life. And that's why we need to keep these thoughts in mind. Here's a great verse. 1 Corinthians 15:57, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory." And how is that victory possible? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why God wants you and God wants me to have victory in life. As we depend upon Him, as we walk in faith, as we are saved, first of all, and we're going to talk about that here in just a minute, by the grace of God, but again, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And even in the book of Revelation, the book of prophecy, John says, "We give you thanks, O God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come." Why? "Because you have taken your great power and reigned." And we're looking at that in the book of Revelation right now, aren't we? We're seeing that God has taken His power and He's taken back the earth. And He's reigning on His throne. This is yet future. We understand that. And that's why we need to have an attitude of gratitude even here in Revelation. Now the question is, apart from these verses, why should we give thanks today? What is God doing that we can be thankful for? Well, by God's grace, He's still calling out a people for His name from every tribe and tongue. He's still building His church today, the spiritual body of Christ. And this body is His espoused bride, and we will be part of that bride for all eternity by His grace. And that's what we need to rejoice in and we need to think about. What a privilege. What an honor. What a great time to be alive and to acknowledge His loving kindness, His goodness, His faithfulness, and to give thanks, for we are His personal ambassadors to a lost and dying world. We have His good news, the gospel of the grace of God, to share with people. Take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Corinthians, please. Second Corinthians, chapter 4. As we think of the gospel, we need to be reminded of what this gospel has done. And here in 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, if I can ever get there, we see what we have to be thankful for. Now, people by nature do not see their need of the gospel of the grace of God. And why is that? 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4 tells us why. "But even if our gospel is veiled, hidden, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Unsaved people don't see the value of the cross of Jesus Christ." Why? Satan has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. People are in spiritual darkness, spiritually speaking, by nature, in their hearts. They need to hear the love of Christ for them. They need to hear the gospel message, don't they? Why do they need to hear the gospel message? Because Romans 1:16 and 17 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for if the gospel is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it, the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed." And we need righteousness to be saved. We need righteousness to live the Christian life. And it's only found in that message called the gospel of the grace of God. And that's exactly what verses 3 and 4 are talking about. "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, the lost, whose mind the god of this world, that Satan, has blinded, who do not believe, that's their problem, lest the light of the gospel, which is the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." The light of the gospel brings them the glory of the person of Christ. He is the image of the invisible God, which will shine in them and save them when they just what? Believe. And that's exactly what this verse has to say here. This is what happened to me many years ago. And no doubt if you're here and you're saved tonight, this is what's happened to you. Someone shared the gospel with you. Someone sat you down or challenged you in some way. The Spirit of God was working in your life, drawing you to Himself, convicting you of sin, of righteousness and judgment. And someone shared with you the message clear enough so that you could place your faith in Jesus Christ. Turn over, if you're on the same kind of Bible, look at verse 5 with me. Now notice, we do not preach Grace Gospel Bible Church. We do not preach ourselves, verse 5, but Jesus Christ the Lord, ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake, Paul told the Corinthians. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He's the key. And that's why when Christ is preached and people are told what He's done for them and who He is, people get saved. Absolutely true. No wonder Paul told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 2:2, "For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Now the promise of God concerning those who have become part of the church, that is that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. In other words, the church of Jesus Christ is God's program for the world today until Jesus comes. And although we are opposed by the enemies of the gospel, the world, the flesh, and the devil, and there is much apostasy within Christendom today, God always has a witness to the truth of His Word, so people who want the truth can find it. And friends, we here at Grace Gospel Bible Church have the privilege of being part of a number of churches that we're affiliated with, where the gospel is clearly proclaimed and where the saints are edified through sound Bible doctrine. What should we say? Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We can say that again on Thanksgiving Eve. Now, I bring this up to explain about some changes that are going on within our sister churches that you may have gotten wind of and need an explanation for. And that's what I'm going to talk to you tonight about, what has happened and what is going on. So let me explain. Dennis Rockster of the Duluth Bible Church, for as long as I've known him, has been a visionary when it comes to the gospel and getting it to the lost so that they can be saved, as well as getting God's truth to the saved so they can grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And things haven't changed for him, as you will see. When he became the pastor in Duluth so many years ago, he sought to reach the lost there, and the Lord honored that desire, and the church grew numerically and qualitatively by His matchless grace. People were saved. He sought to train men and women for special areas of ministry and leadership through personal discipleship, through preaching God's transforming Word, and later through the Gibbs program at DBC. And as the Lord matured these saints, God also provided opportunities for them to be used in the local church in Duluth, different aspects of leadership and Sunday school teaching in different ways, but also in outlying Bible studies and in local prison ministries in Duluth. As the Lord directed, Dennis sought to establish local churches and sent out some of His best people to shepherd these churches. And these are the sister churches in Milwaukee, in Grand Rapids, in Clarissa, and here in the Twin Cities. When opportunity arose, he sought to establish what's known now as the IBI, the International Bible Institute. Was changed from the Gibbs to the International Bible Institute. Why? Because they're going international with their teaching, see? In foreign countries, El Salvador, people were taught there. Nicaragua now. Burma has just finished up some teaching there, and they're now in some African nations. Matter of fact, Kurt Witzig and Jason Sowers are leaving for Africa Friday for an extended time there. I don't have all the details on that. I'm waiting for an email from Duluth on that. So they're going over there right after Thanksgiving again to preach the gospel, to share the grace of God with people so that they can be saved. This is amazing. And the trouble is that Duluth has had many opportunities to go other places, but the trouble is determining which one should be their priority with the limited resources that they have. For some time, Pastor Rockster has sought to write a number of books and pamphlets that he could place in the hands of God's people so as to edify the saints with the written Word. And we have a number of those pamphlets that and this gospel book that he found somewhere else, and he asked that he could change some of those things in it, and he did. But he's written a number of pamphlets. When you go to DBC, you can pick those up, and we have some here in our church as well. He's got the Grace Family Journal that goes out, and this goes to missionaries, pastors. It goes all over the place. He's trying to, again, get the truth of the Word of God out there. But being the lead pastor of a local church has hindered much of his writing desire, so that this issue has been a matter of prayer for him. And how can we do this for a long time? So for years he has prayed that God would provide the right man who could come on staff to be a publication director at DBC. Someone who could lead a team of people who had writing gifts and skills to accomplish all that he wanted to do, but has not, so that he could at the same time devote himself to pastoring the Duluth Bible Church as the lead pastor. Finding a publication director has been in the works and been prayed for by Dennis and the board up there for about 10 years. Now, I didn't even know about all this because I have been gone 12 years this month. So things have developed since I have left there, and I haven't really been in the loop concerning those things that much. But last Sunday, they announced the hiring of this special man, and he is Tom Stiegel of the Word of Grace Bible Church in Milwaukee. And I'm sure I was absolutely surprised to hear about Tom going there, and I didn't know anything about it before that time. And I had surmised about some other people, but I was wrong. And I only kind of knew about what was going on here in the last few weeks in Duluth. So I need to explain about these issues here and what's happened. And I want you to understand that God has been in this every step of the way. And I believe this is going to be for the best for everyone. As you let me explain here, I'll tell you what's happening and what's going on in regards to these things. So I really need to read some of the letters that Dennis has sent to me so that, and I'll just read highlights out of these letters and try to fill in the blanks on what's going on here and what he has to say. So let me read here for a while. There are several things, and he wrote this letter and spoke this message in Duluth 2 or 3 Wednesdays ago, put it in written form, and my wife happened to be there opening weekend of deer season, got the letter, brought it home. I didn't know it was in my house until last week, and I finally saw this letter, and I picked it up and sat down and read it. I'm going, wow! But I was at deer camp with Randy Zempel and Mary Brooks, and they were telling me about all this stuff, and I'm going, and I'm taking it all in at deer camp. I didn't even know about these things. So here's what he says, and I'm just giving you highlights out of this letter. I can't read everything tonight. There are several things regarding the future direction of DBC that we as elders desire that you pray about and request your feedback on. It is our desire to be an instrument in the Lord's hands to further the gospel and sound doctrine as God directs and provides locally and globally through evangelism, Bible teaching, missions, publications, the internet, etc. In light of this, the elders are seriously considering continuing our present missions direction, in other words, going where they're going throughout the world, in addition to adding some needed staff persons. Jim Miller was one of the men as a part-time pastoral support person to enable the pastors of DBC to more efficiently do what God has called them to do, namely shepherd God's flock here, while having him take some things off our pastoral plates. Okay? Jim would tentatively work 20 to 25 hours a week as an hourly employee with periodic evaluations by the board. We ask you to make this a matter of prayer as well as give you feedback and questions about this pending decision. We are desirous of adding to our staff a full-time publications director. Now, because of the situation and not being able to tell the congregation in Duluth who this man is that they were thinking about and praying about and how the Lord has led them to this decision, the congregation in Duluth did not know who the publications director would be. Although some surmised a few things, I surmised a few things, but I never thought it was Tom Stiegel. Okay, I'll tell you that right now. I was just like, Tom Stiegel. I was just blown away. I was in the dark completely about it. This is what he says. All this started with a genuine need. Now, they've been studying the book of Nehemiah, and he's pulled principles out of Nehemiah to apply to this whole situation, and need was one of those things. There is a genuine need for grace-oriented written materials, or is there? Yes, due to the prominence of false teaching everywhere, such as Lordship Salvation, Calvinism, Neo-Calvinism, which is Calvinism who are charismatic, John Piper, prosperity gospel teaching, signs and wonders, mysticism, amillennialism, Reformed theology, and Calvinistic teaching dominate Christian radio and publications in the evangelical world of our day. Time magazine wrote a while back, identified the new Calvinism as one of the top 10 ideas changing the world right now. Amazing statement. Yes, due to the dire need and lack of grace-oriented materials presently available, few doctrinally sound grace-oriented books have been written or are being written in our day, and those that are being written are oftentimes laced with aberrant teachings such as crossless gospel, millennial exclusion for carnal believers, etc. That does not line up with a consistent understanding of God's grace for justification, sanctification, or glorification. The value of scripturally sound written materials in our own lives, they are witnessing to that, and how we have used them to minister to others has been very, very important. Many outside of DBC who have been blessed through reading and Our publications, such as the Grace Family Journal, the Gospel, Seven Reasons, etc., have found a blessing through what they already have published, is the idea here. The need for Christian life teaching by grace through faith based upon your identity in Christ is great. There are no books. We don't even have a book to put in the hands of a new believer to help ground them in basic sound doctrine, or that explains the three tenses of salvation. Furthermore, there's a great need for expositional commentaries from a grace perspective that are pastoral in its comments and posture writing. And oftentimes when you pick up a commentary, you pick up a commentary by some theologian who's never been a pastor, who can't relate to pastors but can break down the text so that you're really not getting, where does this apply and how can I apply this? And that's something that we have to do. And that's what Duluth would like to do in regards to these things. Now, there's also a great need for teaching manuals that could be used in adult Bible classes, on the mission field, etc. Clearly, accurately, and simply explain the vital truths from God's Word. While God in His grace has chosen to use unworthy vessels such as the believers of DBC to fulfill a part of the Great Commission, it is obvious that our church can only reach personally a limited number of places in the U.S. or foreign countries. However, a Bible-based, Christ-oriented, grace-oriented, verse-by-verse, doctrinally sound materials can be used by God's pleasure to spread the message of grace where we personally could never go. And that's one of the things when Ron Merriman was in Duluth, and although I've enjoyed Ron's teaching in the past, and sometimes his conferences, I just think, Ron, why don't you just stay home and write? Because what you write is more valuable than seeing you in person. And put those things into book form so that we'll have them after you're gone. That's what I think Ron Merriman should do. Now, that's my opinion. May not be his opinion. The Lord can lead him to do what he wants to do, but I think that's what I think would be great, because Ron is really good at what he's written in regards to those things. These publications would involve booklets and manuals of various sizes on a variety of subjects previously taught by Pastor Dennis Roxer, as well as our elders, sister church pastors, and other writers from DBC. Furthermore, these publications are not primarily designed to duplicate something already available in print from a grace-oriented perspective, but that which could be used by the Holy Spirit to meet a void or a need at DBC as well as in the larger body of Christ. Some of these are already close to completion. Some publications are at other stages of completion. Some have only been preached and nothing more. Some of these should be translated into other languages such as Spanish, French, and German. Once a publication director is in place, Lord willing, there is a ready team in DBC of no less than 8 to 10 individuals with both writing skills and or editing abilities that have expressed an interest in helping out in various ways, and they would work on a volunteer basis. Below is a tentative list of the publications, so then I went and put this on overhead again here so that you can understand what are they thinking about publishing that could be of such great value. Well, first of all, I was going to talk to you about the gospel, but everybody here is everybody I know, so let's move ahead here. What would be published and put into print? First of all, the Grace Family Journal, instead of 4 times a year, would be available 6 times a year. They would have a booklet called Preaching the Gospel with Variety, an article from the Gospel Toolbox. Salvation in 3 Time Zones, booklet on the 3 Tenses of Salvation. Eternal Security, a longer and shorter version. The Tale of Two Thieves, a gospel tract by Sean Lachlan that he's working on. If you can't lose your salvation, what can a believer lose? 30 to 40 page pamphlet. Now That You Believe, Christian Living by Grace for New Believers, 100 pages or less. Lordship Salvation, Examined and Exposed under the Searchlight of Scripture. 7 Reasons Why You Can Trust the Bible, 20 to 30 pages. A Glossary of Biblical and Theological Terms That You Should Know, 10 pages or so. Clearing Up the Charismatic or Pentecostal Confusion, Tongues, Prophecy, Holy Laughter. Romans 8 Teacher's Manual, Revised, and also a Reader's Version on Romans 1 through 5 and also 6 through 8. Biblical Distinctions, a Teacher's Manual and a Reader's Version. The Church, God's Masterpiece, a book on that. Are You Ready for the Great White Throne Judgment? All about that. A Gospel Tract on Chronological Order from Creation through Salvation by Scott Johnson, 25 pages. God's Incredible Plan of the Ages, Dispensational Truth Made Simple, a Teacher's Manual and a Reader's Version. Answering the Key Issues About Hyperdispensationalism, 75 pages. Colossians, The Supremacy of sufficiency of Jesus Christ, a commentary and teacher's manual, and a reader's version. God's plan of salvation in picture and diagram form developed by Scott Johnson. The gospel, plain and simple, 50 pages or less. Effective evangelism in manual form and reader's edition. Answering common objections to biblical Christianity. 1 Peter, the glory of suffering for your Savior, commentary and manual. Death, the final enemy. Seeking to strike the balance between God's sovereignty and human responsibility, confronting Calvinism. Are you getting the depth of this? We're going on. Ruth, the romance of redemption, a commentary. Abiding in Christ, the key to fruit bearing. The battle with bitterness. Living in light of your position in Christ. Truth about tongues. Trials. Why is grace so amazing? Avoiding the second generation blowout. Redeeming the time. How to have a quiet time with God. Behold your God. A study in the attributes and character of God. Is Jesus Christ God? Will the church go through the tribulation? Will you marry a sheep or a goat? The Great Commission. Grace. Again, legalism, liberty, and license. Three aspects. The biblical balance on spiritual warfare. Seeking the biblical balance on doctrinal separation and practical unity. Here we go. The power of effective prayer. Marriage. Parenting. Singleness and dating. The blessed hope. Rewards and judgment seat of Christ. Great words of our salvation. How to know and do the will of God. Grace giving versus tithing. A biblical perspective on music. More trophies of God's grace testimonies in print. International Bible Institute's curriculum manuals in various languages. Sunday school curriculum from a free grace perspective of what we are presently using. Reprint selected works of older authors by Schofield, Schaefer, and Ironside and Strombeck. Gospel booklets in light of various human medical needs as proposed by Dr. Steve Waterhouse. Kind of extensive, wouldn't you say? That's not all. Commentaries on Old Testament and New Testament books, those with an asterisk would be a priority. And here's a whole list of what they want to put into print. I mean, this is amazing, friends, what they want to do and what they have a great ambition. Pastor Roxer is a visionary. There is just no doubt about that. Okay, so there's lots going on here. This all has resulted in a God-given burden for the eldership at DBC, for the Lord's cause and for others. They've been thinking about how to do this. Pastor said, I have prayed for over a decade about this need and have waited for the Lord to direct us should this be His will, especially waiting upon the Lord for the right person to direct a publications ministry who is doctrinally sound, personally mature, with the right giftedness and skills, etc. As elders, we have prayed about this and discussed this for over 10 years. We have asked ourselves the question, is someone else publishing sound, grace-oriented materials? And that's true, there has been some materials, but they've been limited. Sounds like DBC wants to get into this in some depth. We have also evaluated our motives as to why we are desirous of doing this. With God as our witness, it is not because of a desire to promote our names or even the name of DBC, but to preach the gospel and to promote the message of grace to whomever and wherever God would lead. May Jesus Christ receive all the glory in this, do His name. What have others said when I have asked them about the need of a publication? Let me share with you some comments. Here's a pastor that's not part of the sister churches who made a comment when he got wind of this. Have you ever thought what it would be like to live on an island? You share this island with 10,000 other souls. Most of them care less about God, and the ones who do care are wrapped up in Catholicism, Mormonism, and Reformed theology. This is pretty much what it's like pastoring a small church in a small town. There never seems to be enough resources or time. The demands are endless, and you are pulled in every direction. Quite often, you feel alone, and this is why I was quite excited when I heard of the possibility that DBC might be taking on a more active role in writing and publishing free grace materials. The need is tremendous, the labors are few, and I'm convinced that there are islands of free grace believers scattered throughout this country and the world that would benefit from this tremendous undertaking. Many perceive the need for sound publications that is great, and it's dire. And that's what Pastor has sensed that, and he's prayed, and he's gotten the elders involved, and they've begun to pray more and more. Dennis's attitude has been, here we are, Lord, if you want us to be used by by you to meet this great need according to your will and for your glory. This is your local church. May your will be done. Now, they have sought this and they've wanted to do this for some time, and Dennis has told us a number of times. He's even taken some time off to do writing, but just because of the ministry and leadership there, he just doesn't have the time to write. He needed to find someone that could lead this up, because through the Gibbs program there, he's got a number of people who are willing to work on a volunteer basis with this program. Okay? And this is the sovereign grace of God in all of this. To be accomplished, all of this would take the sovereign providence or grace of God. Okay? God working in the lives of people, developing, maturing them, as well as developing the right man for the job. Okay? And that's why he goes on to state, and I'm skipping much of what he said here, because there's just not time to read it all to you tonight. I want to read Tom's letter. I want to read Dennis's letter to the church after this was announced. And he had to announce this and tell the people all of this information without revealing who this person was, trying to get the congregation behind them and to get them give them a sense that this would be God's will. Just think what we could do, what we could produce, and how we could get God's word out there. And nobody knew, except for Tom. He was in on it, obviously, because he knew, and I'm going to get to that here in just a minute. But he says, when you're in the will of God, He will work out all the circumstances by His grace. So you need to always begin with the known will of God as found in His Word. Now, in order to accomplish, we have sought to remember and emphasize the three eternal realities which should be and have been our priority here at DBC from the beginning. Namely, glorify Jesus Christ, uplift the Word of God, and reach out to people. Okay? Not brick and mortar. And by God's sovereign grace, we have been given some unique opportunities to be used by the Lord. Financially, we've been given much. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, for the last 10 years, they've had the Edison School there, and they've been able to go into these foreign countries and to save a substantial amount of money. Matter of fact, they've saved $1.5 million at DBC that they now I want to tap into. And going on the missionaries' journeys they've gone on has all come out of the money from Edison School, and God has given them this money in advance and allow them to accumulate this money now to be used. I mean, they could build a building, or they could reach people for Christ. Okay? It's two priorities. And what would we do if somebody gave us $1 million? Well, we'd be looking for a building, probably, because it'd be nice to have our own place, wouldn't it? It absolutely would. Everyone else has one. We don't have our own place. But this certainly meets our needs, and we just might be here until the Lord comes. Who knows? I don't know. So financially, we've been given much, and the Lord has uniquely directed us in ministry and missions expansion in and through our local church. There are a few churches that have a unique opportunity we have by way of sound doctrine, equipped servants, financial resources, etc. We believe that, like Esther of old, God has raised us up for such a time as this. And again, with apostasy and with all that's going on and with everything being inundated with false teaching and on the radio and whatnot, it's hard to find good sound teaching. Now, in considering this staff position, the logical question would arise, what would be the role and duties of this publication's director? Number one, he would oversee all aspects of the publication ministry, the Grace Family Journal, various books, booklets, Gibbs, IBI manuals, etc. Number two, he would be involved in directing a team of believers in the writing, transcription, editing, and publication of doctrinally sound materials. Okay? And they prayed about this for quite a while. In evaluating all this, I believe that we can say that there's a genuine need, there's the God-given burden is present, evaluation and prayer has occurred, we are willing to be used by His grace and step out in faith, we have the right person to lead the publication ministry, this person though was unknown to DBC at the time that this message was preached. Others are in place to assist in the publication ministry. The money is available if we are led to use it in this way. Again, that money was saved through Edison here in regards to those things. God certainly seems to have been providentially arranging all of this as we sought to honor Him and His Word. DBC has been studying Nehemiah, and here are some of the things that they have learned. When you're in the will of God, number one, He will work out all the circumstances by His grace, though you always need to begin with the known will of God as found in His Word. God is the one who ultimately changes hearts and works out circumstances. Number three, both persistent prayer and effective planning have a place in God's plan, though our plans must be ultimately submitted to God's will. Is this what God wants? And God is available to work through and in spite of human weaknesses to display His grace. And fifthly, we must walk by faith in the Lord and His Word and not by sight if we are going to please Him and to do His will. Now, I'm reminded also how God blessed regarding the missions in El Salvador, and He mentions a number of things before this that they did stepping out by faith. I mean, when He came, just like when I came here, there had to be a salary. When they hired every staff person, they had to be prayed, and they stepped out, not even having the income at that time to do so, but God provided. He says, I'm reminded also how God blessed regarding missions in El Salvador. Soon after we stepped out in faith and put a Bible conference there, God brought along Edison to lease from us and to pay for mission trips to various countries for the next 10 years. Thus the just shall live by faith. Adding staff to DBC will be a financial gamble for them because they're going to have to dip into the savings to do it. There's not enough general giving to add more staff. And if they add Tom as staff and Jim Miller as staff, within 3 or 4 years, they could deficit spend. And they could spend that $1.5 million right down to zip. So this is a gamble in some regards. But again, when you step out by faith, you know, you are gambling, but at the same time, you're trusting the Lord every step of the way. Let's see. That's what I want to mention about that here. Let me just see what else I want to say. There are various opinions present at DBC as how we should use our savings, and I'll give you four of them that he gives here. Sell this present building and build a new one on our Swan Lake property. They've got a piece of property that they could build a brand new building on, and they've got the funds to do most of it already. Should they do that? Secondly, keep or reduce missions and continue with the present DBC staff. Just go with the flow, status quo. You know, no by faith decisions. Third, add a part-time DBC staff person to support the elders and keep our reduced missions. Number four, and this is what they wanted to do, add a part-time staff person, Jim Miller, for the elder support and a full-time publications director. Now, he goes into a lot of mention here about finances that I'm not going to talk to you about because doesn't need to be talked about. But what can any church, local church, learn from this? Well, we need to sense the genuine need of this person, resulting in a God-given burden, the Lord's cause and others. They need to self-evaluate, saturate this with persistent believing prayer, and this would also include a willingness then to step out in faith to meet the need and to do what God would have them to do. Now, in light of that, and he mentioned last Sunday morning, wasn't it last Sunday morning that was mentioned, you guys? Okay. And also in Duluth, he told them who this would be, and this is the letter he wrote and talked on that morning. And then I'm going to read Tom's letter that he was speaking to his people in Milwaukee and what his response is, because my response was, what are the people in Milwaukee thinking about this? Okay? Because that's how I thought. Here's what he says. Warmest greetings in the Lord from the elders of DBC. In Acts 13, 1 through 5, now here's a parallel situation. We read, now the church that was at Antioch, there was a certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, also called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manon, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And as they ministered the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, notice his leading, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they arrived at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they also had John as their assistant. This is the first missionary journey going out from the church at Antioch. Okay? And this is a scene from the early church regarding that situation. On the one hand, there was an air of excitement as Paul and Barnabas were being sent on the first missionary journey ever, recorded in the book of Acts, which would result in the Lord using them to preach the gospel and teach the word of God so that people were saved. Churches were planted and the Lord was glorified. On the other hand, there must have been a sense of shock and sadness on the part of many at Antioch because 40% of the pastoral staff or team would be leaving their home church and his fruitful ministry to go on and fulfill the will of God on this missionary trip involving a separation from their dear saints there. Yet it is important to observe that these, in this passage, also clearly indicates that this change in the sphere and location of ministry for Paul and Barnabas was exactly what the Lord desired. That's the point here, with both of these men responding by faith to the Lord's, to the Holy Spirit's leading, which the local church then accepted and supported, which DBC has done as well. Now I'm going to leave off on that letter and read you Tom's letter. Because at the same time, or actually an hour earlier, in the Eastern time zone, Tom is talking to his people, and this is the letter he writes. Now I want you to note that in Milwaukee, Tom has been the pastor there for 13 years. There's a fellow there by the name of Rick Gerhardt, who is also an elder there. He was a member of that church in the years gone by, had gotten saved, and had moved to Duluth years ago, and for 7 or 8 years, went through the Gibbs program. He worked for me painting for at least a year and a half. I know him very well. Then after graduation, he moved back to Milwaukee, was a member of that church in time. Tom asked him to be a deacon. After some more time, Tom asked him to be an elder, an assistant elder. And he's the one that's going to take over in Milwaukee. Here's Tom and Rick's letter. Very emotional, I'm sure, when it was read. Dear saints in Christ at the Word of Grace Bible Church, fondest greetings in the name of our precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity. It is with a mixture of great love, sadness, gratitude, and eager anticipation that we, Pastors Tom and Rick, write this letter summarizing the announcement to the church today of a major change taking place here at the Word of Grace Bible Church. As shepherds of this local church, we have sought to follow the leading of our chief shepherd, Jesus Christ, in the direction of His local church here at Word of Grace Bible Church, and to discern our own place of service ministering for Him. After much prayer and personal discussion and soul-searching reflection on God's Word, we've come to the settled conclusion that the Lord is leading Pastor Tom to a new position of ministry, serving the Lord primarily as the publications director at DBC in Duluth, Minnesota, with our associate pastor, Rick Gerhardt, filling the position of pastor teacher here at Word of Grace Bible Church. This change will take effect on January 1, 2012. While this may understandably come as a shock to many of you, it will be important to remember as we move forward that this hasn't taken the Lord by surprise, and that we are convinced that this is all part of His sovereign plan prepared for us as well in advance, Ephesians 2:10. In this letter, we would like to share a summary of why this major ministry decision is taking place and how we arrived at this conclusion. In doing so, I, Pastor Tom, would like to say, first of all, that the most difficult part of the decision was facing the reality of leaving this body of believers that I have come to love so dearly over the course of the past 15 years of my ministry here, 13 officially as pastor teacher. Paul's epistle to the Philippians expresses my own heart sentiment toward you when he writes, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Ministering here with you has been a genuine labor of love, resulting in great blessing from the Lord and many precious memories and bonds in Christ that our family will always treasure. And yet the Lord has redirected our steps, Proverbs 3:5 and 6. Over the years, I have had a growing compulsion from the Lord to see the truth of God's Word made known and available in a greater way, specifically through the medium of the printed Word. It is partly for this reason that I started a small and manageable publishing company in 2009 called the Grace Gospel Press. He even called me when he was going to start that. He says, Dave, would you mind if we use the name of your church, Grace Gospel Press? I said, I don't mind at all. I'm not going to start a publishing company. Go for it. He said, thanks. I'm going to use the name. I like it. So that's what they did. In order to expedite the publication of my own book, The Gospel of the Christ, as a biblical answer to the false teaching of the crossless gospel. Subsequently, in the past 2 years, I published 4 more books by other authors because their subject matter was so vitally needed and lacking in our day. Tragically, the evangelical Christian publishing world of our day is dominated by books and authors spreading the false teachings of lordship salvation, Calvinism, Arminianism, what I already read to you from Pastor's letter. Unfortunately, many times sincere seeking people are not even aware that there is an alternative to such false and predominant teachings. There is an urgent need for a doctrinally sound material as written from a classic dispensational grace-oriented perspective and made easily accessible at an affordable price so that the Lord can use these materials in evangelizing the lost and edifying the same. According to the Bible, when grace teaching proliferates, I can't even pronounce it, the result is greater thanksgiving to the praise of God. That's what we're talking about tonight, giving thanks, which is my greatest objective in all of this. Thus, I have been burdened and prayed specifically that the word of the Lord would run and be glorified just as it is in you, 2 Thessalonians 3:1, and that God would open a door for the word, Colossians 4:3. While the need and value of publishing biblically sound materials has remained evident for a long time, and the burden to meet this need grows greater every year, my door of opportunity to meet this demand through publishing has been restricted due to ministry needs and time demands as the pastor teacher here at Word of Grace Bible Church. With the ability to serve as a full-time publications director at DBC, this door of opportunity is open for me. This publications ministry position will involve me overseeing a team of 8 to 10 believers from DBC who are already assembled and waiting for direction, who have both writing and editing skills and experience. They will be involved in different phases of the production of books and booklets, various sizes on a wide variety of subjects, mainly as taught previously by the elders at DBC as well as sister churches, including me, along with other writers from DBC and outer print authors, Schofield, Strombeck, so forth. The dozens of proposed titles and subjects waiting to be published would take pages and too many to list here. I listed them for you. Okay? I lost my place here. But within the scope of the publication ministry, we will even seek to produce pastor-friendly commentaries on books of the Bible, a possible Sunday school curriculum, a teacher training manuals for church planting, missions, adult Sunday school classes. Some of these books, booklets, and materials will seek to translate and publish in other languages. In addition, the Grace Family Journal will become a bi-monthly publication rather than a quarterly journal. There are literally enough work available to keep a publications director busy for decades, barring the Lord's return. As you could see, he's going to be a busy boy there. And you can see from the scope and magnitude of this ministry that my attention cannot be divided between pastoral ministry and publishing. Though I will still be involved occasionally in teaching and personal ministry of others if needed, the elders of DBC have expressed that they wish for me to focus almost solely on my role as publications director in order to serve most effectively. Romans 14:22 and 23 teaches that we must exercise faith in all our decisions and be convinced of God's will before the Lord. And I am certain that God's will for me, Tom, at this time, is to serve Him in this position of publications director. The leadership at DBC has prayed and waited for 10 years for a person to come along to head up this ministry who would be the right fit. The position requires someone to meet several criteria: writing, editing experience, understanding of publishing industry, typesetting, book design, production, marketing. Tom's got all those experiences. Discernment on the whole spectrum of doctrinal subjects and ability to understand and do biblical exegesis for the reproduction of commentaries. Someone preferably with a pastoral experience who would bring a pastoral perspective to the publications. The ability to work closely with the current pastors at DBC and someone whose integrity is unquestionable and has familiarity with DBC. They know how they do it, so they can fit in there. Additionally, I've had an overwhelming burden to do this very work for the past few years. One telltale clue came a while ago when Pastor Roxer shared with me on his ongoing desire for this ministry and position and how the right person still hadn't come along. I decided to go out on a limb and responded that I personally would be willing to do it. He immediately shot me down, replying, "Oh no, Tom, we aren't thinking of you. We would never want to. We never want an existing pastor to leave his local church." My heart sunk because I had come to the realization that I had a greater desire, led by the Lord, to do this publication ministry rather than even pastoring at this time. Over the course of the last year, the elders at DBC recognized, prayed further, and by September were convinced it was time to take a step of faith and proceed with the possibility of me being the production's publication director. But there were two still two major issues for the Lord to resolve. First, the willingness and leading of Pastor Rick to become the pastor teacher here, and second, the congregation support in Duluth for the establishment of this new position. After I met privately with Pastor Rick and Katie in September, he initially expressed his reluctance, but was willing to pray about it. Amazing what prayer changes things. As time progressed, Rick and Katie as well gradually became convinced that this was God's will for him. Second, just recently, this month of November, the congregation in Duluth expressed strong positive approval and support for the Spirit's leading in the establishment of the publications director position at DBC without knowing specifically who the elders had in mind. Based on this further confirmation from the Lord, I and Pastor Rick, along with the three pastors, elders, and DBC, believe it is the right time to announce this change to the congregation and move forward. Stop there for a minute. They had Rick Gerhards come up to Duluth, and the elder sat down and talked to him to see what his perspective on this and to see what he would do it with his wife, and they talked to both of them about this, and they seemed to be on board with all of that going on. Okay? Back to the letter. I also wish to assure you that my conscience is clear before the Lord in this decision, and my motives are simply to serve Him according to His will in my life. Now, I'm reading his whole letter because I think it's important that you know Tom's perspective in this, more than Dennis's perspective. Okay? My motive is not money, since this will essentially be a lateral move, nor am I seeking an easier life, as there is no end to the amount of work I could do. Nor am I retreating from any secret sin in my own life or potential problem brewing here at Word of Grace, since the church is doing comparatively better today than it has ever has in the past. In fact, this gives me greater peace and assurance about this being the appropriate time to move on. Nor is this a matter of favoring one church over another, since I deeply love the people here, and this actually made my decision more difficult. It is strictly a matter of following the Lord's leading in terms of the nature of the work, and I believe He has called me now to do. I would also like to provide some explanation about Pastor Rick's qualifications to be the pastor here at Word of Grace, with his consent, of course. Since it is a biblical principle for elders to appoint other elders, and Rick and I are the only two elders in our church at this time, it is fair to say he is uniquely qualified for the position of pastor teacher. And I believe this is confirmed through God's providential leading in his life. Many of you already know that Rick is originally from Milwaukee, but what you may not know is that he was also leading home Bible studies that were growing in number before I came here in 97. And that he got in on the ground floor of the Word of Grace Bible Church in 97 before the Lord led him and Katie up to Duluth, where they were part of the church for the next 7 or 8 years, and where Rick was a student of the Grace Institute. For various reasons, the Lord led Rick and Katie back here to Milwaukee, one of which was a desire to help serve in this congregation in the city. After returning and getting acclimated again to our church and having a pattern of service here over a period of time, I approached Rick and asked him about his willingness to serve as a deacon. He consented, served faithfully in that capacity until 2009. That year I asked Rick if he would consider being an associate pastor in this church. And since he was already serving largely in that capacity as a teacher and leader among the flock, again he consented. And at no time, including now, that I ever sensed that Rick was desirous of a position or a title for status sake. Rather, he has consistently demonstrated a genuine desire to serve the Lord and this body of believers, irrespective of recognition by others, and this is the mark of a faithful servant. In many respects, you can see God's providential hand in leading Rick to this position at this time. He is already from the city, a member of this church, has served here with no position, then as a deacon, and then as a pastor for the past 2.5 years. He is already well known by the flock, and he knows them and prays regularly for them as well. He already fits the qualifications of a pastor, elder, 1 Timothy 3, Titus 1, and has a credible reputation, is well respected, and shares the exact same doctrinal beliefs that this church has always stood for. He even shares the same convictions regarding various emphases in ministry, such as expository preaching instead of entertainment, and evangelism toward the lost instead of the doctrine being the end in itself. Bringing in an outsider at this point to audition or candidate, like so many churches do, would be a gamble and would be undoubtedly create instability and upheaval in our church. Having Rick become the pastor would provide the smoothest transition at this time. And I believe he's the perfect fit, especially considering that he is willing to take this position as he trusts the Lord to serve in this capacity. In addition, we are convinced that This transition is God's providential timing for this local church. And there are other men in the church who have been growing and are gifted to teach, who with further growth and guidance will have opportunities to serve and be used here in the future. It is vital that the believers be of a mindset to support Pastor Rick at this time and pray diligently for him. There is no question that this will be a time of testing and refinement for this church, but it can also be result in even greater growth, usefulness for the Lord, and glory to Him, provided that believers truly trust the Lord through this time. Remember, God always and only blesses faith. And without change in our circumstances by way of trials and tests, we would simply never grow. It is all too easy to walk by sight with the status quo. But may God save us from becoming stagnant and stalled out in our Christian lives and corporately as a church. We recognize that no one likes change, since we are creatures of habit and change makes us uncomfortable. Yet the Lord wants us to move out of our comfort zones right now with this major leadership transition. It is our prayer that this congregation will be willing to accept this from Him and go forward in faith. Remember, Jesus Christ is the one we serve, and He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Though our circumstances may change, He never does. Therefore, we can continue to trust Him through every change. He has a few more things there, but I don't need to read those to you, and I just wanted you to see what he stated there and understand that. Now, back to Pastor Rox's letter, which he was reading last Sunday. You heard the saying, God buries His workmen but continues His work. And while this saying rings true to Scripture, this passage also indicates that the Word of God affirms that God sometimes moves His workmen to a different field in His harvest, but continues His work. Such was the case in Acts 13 with Paul and Barnabas, and such is now the case with Tom Stiegel and Rick Gerhardt. As Tom commented on and clarified in his explanation of the ministry change, my greatest concerns from the onset when considering Tom to fulfill this role as our publications director, have been that we do not want to hurt the growth, health, or anything of the Word of Grace Bible Church in any way, nor did we want to hurt our relationship with the believers of Word of Grace in any way. Thus, after discussing for many years the important need for doctrinally sound publication from a grace perspective with Tom, our elders, and others, Tom initiated and expressed his willingness to me one night on the phone almost 2 years ago to fulfill the role of publications director. Well, I knew that Tom was an excellent choice to fulfill this role. My first response to him was the immediate rejection of his offer, because I did not want to take a pastor away from his local church and from the believers he loves and has faithfully ministered to for years. In fact, this has been the major concern of all of our elders as we prayed and discussed this specific possibility regarding Tom for almost 2 years. But as we prayed, the DBC elders, Tom and all of us became more and more convinced that God was leading us not only to expand the publication ministry, but that Tom could possibly be the will of God to lead it under the headship of Jesus Christ. So we became willing to take one step at a time to see if God would truly and further confirm this to be His perfect will. Now, in light of that, what can we learn as a local church, and what did they learn here in regards to these things? This entire process looked like this. There was a need. That's an oftentimes people have to sense a need before anything ever happens in their life. A need for scriptural publications was determined to be very real. They sensed a need. And then God laid it on their hearts, Tom's hearts, as well as the elders at DBC. Secondly, the God-given burden now to do this became greater and greater over time as they prayed. And they sensed God's leading. They sensed God had given this burden to them. It wasn't Dennis's idea to get Tom to come. He didn't want him to come. But this is a burden again. Starts with a need, goes to a God-given burden. Specific prayer was offered for years by the DBC elders and Tom concerning this issue. Lord, what would you have us to do? How could we do this? What is your plan in all of this? Number four, a team of willing laborers for publications ministry was assembled over the last 3 years in DBC, but still lacking the right leader or director. Dennis can't do everything in relationship to these things. Number five, Tom was willing to become the publications director and became convinced that this was the Lord's will, and I highlighted these words, and is willing to walk by faith regarding God's direction and provision for it. You know, in anything we do as we pray, sometimes God wants you to be willing to witness to your neighbor, to someone at work. Puts a burden on your heart for that person as you begin to pray for that person. You know, that's how that works. And then you become convinced that this is God's will. It's the Lord's will in all this. And you're willing to walk by faith, step out and go talk to that person. You know? Or whatever it could be. These are lessons we can learn here. Number six, the DBC elders were willing and became convinced this also was the Lord's will and are willing to walk by faith in this issue. Debbie Stiegel, very important person here, was willing to do God's will and became convinced that this was the Lord's will for Tom and their family and is willing to walk by faith. Always have to consider what the women think because they're very important in a marriage, right? Absolutely. Rick and Katie Gerhardt were willing to do God's will and became convinced of the Lord's direction and they are willing to walk also by faith here. The Lord provided the money available needed to invest in an expanded publications ministry in the things that eternally matter. What's that? Jesus Christ, the Word of God, and people. Very, very important. Notice, the Lord always goes ahead providing things that are needs at the right time. God's in this, friends. Okay? Number 10, the congregation of DBC strongly approved of hiring a full-time publications director to invest a chunk of our savings account to that end and is willing to walk by faith. Now, I want to mention this, is that if they invest a chunk of their savings, you know, if this doesn't go anywhere, they'll be broke and they'll have to deficit spend and they'll have to lay people off in a few years. But if God is leading this, and if they can get these things going, I mean, they're going to have to sell these. They can't give them all away because how are they going to continue to support unless the Lord saves Warren Buffett and a few others and they want to undertake this. I mean, that's the kind of people you have to undertake for this. People that have unlimited resources. And we don't have that, but we know the God of unlimited resources and all this. That's what's so very, very important. Willing to step out in faith in regards to these things. Back to the letter. Now you might be thinking, wasn't there anyone else to fill the need? And while there were several people with various skills and assets to assist in the publications ministry, no one has the composite picture that Tom Stiegel has involved in doctrinal discernment, pastoral experience, writing and publishing background, a working relationship with the DBC elders, and the needed leadership skills, personal integrity and credibility, and greater inner compulsion, all with the willingness to step out in faith and trust the Lord to direct and provide for he and his family once again. Thus, we as elders believe Tom is the God-given answer to our prayers of praying and the best choice on the planet for this important ministry. So, Lord willing, he will move to Duluth and join our staff on January 1. Now, you might be thinking, well, how can he move to Duluth so quick? Doesn't he have to sell his house? That was my criteria before I came down here. Well, Debbie's parents live in Proctor, and they're snowbirds. They go to Phoenix or something every winter so the house is empty so they can go right into their house and stay there, hopefully sell their house in Milwaukee in the interim before they come back home. So the Lord has even undertaken with that. Absolutely amazing. Dennis says, as I shared with you a few weeks ago regarding all of this with God as our witness, I have no desire to make my name known, nor do we aspire to make our church's name known. But we sincerely and simply want to exalt the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and to see His church built around the world through publishing of clear gospel materials to evangelize the lost and grace-oriented books that will minister the saints at DBC as well as beyond. In closing, let us not forget to pray for the Word of Grace Bible Church during this time of leadership transition, that they may go on successfully through the process from shock to acceptance to support, like the church at Antioch had to do. Furthermore, let us pray for the Stiegels, that they are involved in a huge move from Milwaukee to Duluth, along with praying for Rick Gerhardt and his family, and Katie, as they become the full-time pastor at the Word of Grace Bible Church. We believe by the grace of God that he is the right person to fill Tom's role. Lastly, let me remind you that God is still on the throne, and that he knows what he's doing. And may the same result recur by God's grace as happened on Paul and Barnabas' first missionary journey. What happened? Now when they had come and gathered at the church together, they reported all that God had done with them and that they had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. Amazing, friends, what happens. And that's why as you see these 10 principles, you see again how God can work in your life, in my life, in this church, in any church. As we sense the need, we are burdened with it over time, we pray, And God is at work in regards to all these things. So, bottom line is, what will all this mean in light of God's leading concerning the furtherance of the gospel and for the edification of the body of Christ locally, nationally, and internationally? Good question. Let me give you a couple of points here. It will mean getting God's Word in a clear written form on various insightful spiritual topics to those people who want sound Bible teaching. Not everybody will want it, but there are some that do want it. And when people come to Duluth to the conferences, they love what goes on there. They love the fellowship there. They love the hubbub and the warmth and the teaching. And they see it's all based on teaching of the Word of God. Secondly, it will mean the salvation of lost souls. This will bring glory to Jesus Christ. And that's what we want here in the Twin Cities. And we'll be a benefit of this as well. Because we'll benefit from this publication and these materials. I'll be able to purchase. I'll be able to teach you in regards to these things. It will mean the equipping and edification of the Church of Jesus Christ for the glory of God. See? And number four, it means that we need to thank God for His leading and partner with DBC and Word of Grace Bible Church in prayer that God will be glorified through it all. So with that in mind, I thought we could close with some prayer. And maybe we could have our deacons stand up and pray. And then I will pray. And we'll have some pie. Okay? Joe, you want to start?
Sure.
Okay?
Our dear Christian.